St. Paul gives us a very simple but a powerful line in the second reading today. He says, no one lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself, for we are the Lord's. I think this one line sums up the difference between a Christian worldview and the attitude that we have towards the world and what's put forth by the modern culture. And in today's culture, it's rooted entirely around selfishness. You'll hear people say, it's my body. I can do with it what I want. Even to the point of killing an innocent child through abortion. And you'll hear people say, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. And no one can tell me what to do. You know, there's just this deep spirit of selfishness within our culture. You know, one of the nicknames for the baby boomer generation, I'm sure some of you have heard, is the me generation. And the millennials, they call the me generation, followed by the I generation. You know, if you notice a pattern. Yeah, but what are some examples of how this selfishness plays out versus what we're called to as Christians? And I think one we can see, especially with the formation of young men in our culture, a lot of our 20 and 30-somethings, they're still stuck in spiritual adolescence. They still behave and live as children, even into their 20s and 30s and sometimes beyond that. You'll see the 20 and 30-somethings sit at home and play video games all day long. And they're living for nothing beyond themselves just to sit there and watch TV or play video games as if there's nothing more important than just their own desires. Just a spiritual adolescence, wasting their lives away. And I think that starts with their earlier formation. You know, sports can be a very good way of forming virtue, but I don't think that happens in today's culture. I think sports are destructive to the formation of our young men because it becomes this prideful obsession. You know, the families, their lives revolve around sports and getting their kids on these elite teams and traveling to all corners of the country so that their children can be exalted in sports. And the young men become spoiled and they become pampered and they're formed with the idea that they're the center of the world. And then they go off to college, and our colleges are just, you know, so many of our young men are just out binge drinking, partying, and living it up, just indulging their self-desires. The reality is, the point at which a boy breaks out of spiritual adolescence and becomes a Christian man is the point at which he recognizes that his life is about more than himself. And that he commits himself to living for a purpose beyond his own selfish desires. To get beyond the pettiness and self-indulgence and to dedicate his life and even to give his life, if necessary, for a purpose beyond himself. Whether it's for his God, for his church, for his family, or for his country. That's when young people break out of spiritual adolescence and become men and women of Christ. When they're living for a purpose beyond themselves. And I think in our culture, people are just trapped in this spirit of spiritual adolescence. As Christians, we're called to do more than that. We're called to something beyond our petty, selfish desires. And we see it, this selfishness in people's approach to everything from their gender, whatever desire they have. They say, well, I can live however I want with marriage. They want to define marriage however they want based upon their own desires. Even when they die, with the spread of euthanasia, people want to determine for themselves whether they live or they die. But rather than living for a higher purpose, rather than asking the question, what is the purpose of marriage? And is there a higher purpose? They just want to indulge their own selfish desires without any regard to higher principles. The reality is, marriage is about more than our selfish desires. It serves the common good, and it serves God's plan of salvation because it brings life into the world. It's about a higher purpose, and it requires self-sacrifice. But so often people in our culture don't want to face up to the reality of what marriage truly is. They just want to indulge their selfish desires. And we see it in people's approach to religion. We see huge numbers of people who have fallen away from the practice of religion, whether it's the Catholic faith or other Protestant denominations. We see it across all denominations. And it kind of makes sense. If people are so worried about themselves, why would they bother to come to church to worship God? That requires for them to go beyond themselves. But this spirit of selfishness, you know, people don't want to go beyond themselves. They don't want to worship God. They don't want to see anything beyond themselves. And even within our parish, and there's a lot of people within our parish here that only come to Mass when they feel like it or when it fits into their schedule. And they're not here every week because they have their own desires and things that take precedence. Or often we'll hear, I don't come to church because I don't get anything out of it. Who are they focused on? Themselves. I don't get anything out of it. Well, if it's really about us, don't come to church. Spend an hour every Sunday morning in front of the mirror. You know, if it's about ourselves, do that. But you know, the reality is when we come to Mass, it's about something beyond ourselves. It's about worshiping God. It's about the reality that everything that we are and every breath that we take in our life is a gift from God. He's the one who created us. He brought us into existence. And so it is an obligation of justice for us to give thanks and glory to God. And if we don't do that, we are behaving unjustly because we are not giving God what is His due. And we should worship God not just because of what He's done for us, but because He is the source of goodness, He's the source of truth, He's the source of love and beauty in the world, and every good thing comes from Him. And so it should be a privilege and an honor for us to give worship and adoration to God. And it's not about us. It's not about what I'm getting out of it. It's about worship and adoration of God. And it is just and right to give Him proper worship. As human beings, we were not created to serve ourselves. We were not created for selfishness. We were not created to be petty. We were called and created to be in the likeness of God. And God is love. And love manifests itself in our world through self-sacrifice. If we want to know what our Christian calling is, it is to rise to greatness, to live for purposes beyond ourselves, for the purpose of goodness, for compassion, for truth, and ultimately to unite our will to the will of God. And if we ever want an example of what it means to truly be human, look at the crucifix. Jesus Christ offering His life on the cross for a purpose greater than His selfish desires. That's what we're called to do. I think a good exercise for us to do is to take a step back and to think of ourselves at the moment of our death, as we look back on our lives. If we've devoted our lives to playing video games or sitting there watching TV or indulging our own selfish desires, what would we think of ourselves? As we look back on our life, would I say, gee, I wish I could just play video games for a few more minutes? Or would we look back and say, what a waste? Versus somebody like Mother Teresa, who dedicated her entire life to compassion, to being the face of love in one of the darkest places of the earth, showing people mercy and compassion as they were dying in the streets and picking them up and showing them love. That's a life worth living. Or a loving mother or father who is faithful their entire life to their God and to their church, who lived that out with fidelity, who was open to life and who raised their children through self-sacrifice day after day after day. They can look back on their life and see that they lived for a higher purpose than themselves. As Christians, we are called to do that. We're called to live lives of honor and greatness by overcoming our selfish desires and by living for a higher principle. And so I encourage you to take a step back and take some time reflecting today and take a hard look and an honest look at your life. Are there areas of your life or your entire life that are rooted in selfishness and just self-indulgence and doing whatever feels good? Or are we living for a higher purpose beyond ourselves? And St. Paul gives us the perfect line as to what the Christians are called to do. He says, no one lives for oneself and no one dies for oneself. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. May each one of us have the grace to live not for ourselves, but to live lives of honor and goodness by serving the Lord.